Hey, hello, friend. Aftermarket Podcast Guy here, Carm Capriato, hoping for your safety and well-being. Ever thought of starting a new business, then the pandemic hit? When your plans are in motion, it's sometimes hard to stop, especially if you put money down. Now, in today's episode, you hear this exact thing happened to Connie and Russell Cook. Here's an interesting story on how this middle-aged couple jumped into shop ownership with all 4 feet. They give us a nice and transparent look into how and why they did it, while Russell was still turning wrenches at the dealership. Hey, this is the reason I podcast. Everything I do is real-world stories that help teach and frame up life's opportunities and its challenges. Hey, I bet you know an outstanding shop owner, technician, or service advisor. How'd you like to nominate them for a national honor from Apex? Yes, Apex is announcing the annual Service Professionals Awards that will be presented at Apex this year, 2020. Nominate a friend or even yourself. Get all the details at aapexshow.com/service awards. I'll put the link in the episode's show notes. The deadline is July 31st, 2020, and you can get a PDF version of the application to see the qualifications needed to nominate. I'm sure every listener to the podcast would qualify for top honor, so please make the first move and nominate an outstanding professional. Stop spending time chasing customers. You know, Shopware's leading shop management system is helping shops just like yours generate more profit per ticket with less time on the phone. Break away from your legacy system and implement a completely contactless workflow today. Do it today. Get started at getshopware.com/carm. Hey, I'm so glad you tuned into this tremendous resource of aftermarket podcasts. We've got over 800 sitting out there just for you. And an episode like this that shows pure entrepreneurialism is why I podcast for you. Here's a slice from Connie Cook.
If you had asked me a couple of months ago, I would have said, I'm about to lose my mind. I'm exhausted. My brain is about to explode because I've just had so much information. I've had to learn the computer end of it, QuickBooks, the invoicing system, dealing with customers, and then learning the automotive part of it. I've had to learn that as well. I've got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Automotive Aftermarket's Information Superhighway, a well-oiled and complete network hub for learning everything aftermarket. Hey, whatever your focus may be, it may be for your business, students, events, finance, teamwork, human resources, best practices, leadership, and many more. We've got the content right here. In this episode, we'll be visiting Russell and Connie Cook's new world of shop ownership at Finish Line Automotive, Ocala, Florida. They'll tell you how they got their money, what they put down, how they built working capital, what went wrong in the last 5 months, and how Connie had to work the shop with zero experience. What a challenge. Buying the shop was their decision after Connie spent 27 years raising the children. A gutsy and bold move. This is what this industry is made of. As the old saying goes, fix your sales and you'll go smoothly. Hey, once again, thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to catch the most fun and informative aftermarket magazine show that's done live every Tuesday at noon Eastern. If you miss any episode, go to aftermarketweekly.com and watch them all. Every episode features a shop tour. That's so cool. Find the show notes and key talking points for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E554. Enjoy. A warm welcome to Russell and Connie Cook, Finish Line Automotive in Ocala, Florida. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey,
how you?
Hey, good to see you. Husband and wife with an incredible story. Love, love, love your story. This is a story, everyone, about startup, about Connie making a huge commitment after raising the kids to run the shop while Russell was working at his other job. I'm sure there's a million of you that can relate to all of this, and putting the finances together, buying an ongoing business, picking some directions, making some big changes. And then Russell, I think you're just a few weeks away from joining the business full time and giving Connie the kind of relief and support that she needs. So, husband and wife, love to do husband and wife interviews. Ever in your whole life thought about doing owning your own business, Russell?
No, I have a friend who owns his own business who always encouraged me to do so, but it seemed like it was something pretty daunting. There was a time where I considered doing a mobile repair And when it really came down to planning that and how that would work, I wasn't exactly sure how it would work. So kind of discarded that and just continued with what I knew.
So take me to the day that you sat down with Connie and said, hey, I just got to do this.
It really wasn't like that, okay? I've commuted quite a distance for a long time, and she wanted to have a business together or something to where we could spend more time together. And she was kind of looking at a variety of businesses, different things. I could join her, she could join me, and kind of looking through some ads, she found this business for sale that was 3 miles from her home and looked into it and liked the idea of it and did some research, and it just all came together.
Wow. You were the, if you will, the catalyst, Connie, to as you found this shop, and you say, wow, there's a business. My husband knows this stuff, right?
Right.
And so take me to that day when you said, hey, Russell, look at this.
I tell him all the time. I said, it's my fault because I had a thought one day, look up businesses on Baseline, which is a main road in our city. And I did. I started looking up garages on Baseline, and I saw this one, and I told him about it. And from there, he took off and just started looking into it and saying, you know, this looks like something that we could do.
You raised the kids for what, 26 years?
Yeah, 27 years.
And you just needed something else to do.
Yeah, I was getting to the place where I'm bored at home. So I said, I need to do something else.
Well, I love that whole thing. You said, Russell, you know, I'll either join Connie or Connie will join me and we'll find something to do. And I think this is a great lesson for everyone in our industry, although you're not in your 20s or your 30s or even your 40s, which is exemplary that you would take this big jump and leap, you know, in your early 50s. God bless you for doing that. You obviously bring Russell the experience of having been a technician for how many years?
27
years, and you're working at a dealership right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the brand?
Lincoln. I've worked exclusively Ford Lincoln. I had a 2-year stint in independent, but the rest of my time has been, I guess it's been 26 years, but it's been Ford Lincoln experience.
Got it. So you bring all the if you will, the technical skills with you. Who's going to learn how to be a CEO?
We'll be figuring that out together, I'm sure.
And if you weren't watching the video, Connie just raised her hand and says, that's got to be me.
Yes.
Let's tell the story about the money line. How did the money come together? I don't want you to share any personal, you know, numbers, but tell us how you pulled it off.
Well, I knew that we would need some help. My parents are in their 70s. And then I've had two grandparents that have passed away, and they had left a little bit of money, maybe 25-30% of what we needed. We could have put 20% down and then had a normal loan, but we thought if we threw everything, and we were going to do that, we're going to put 20% in and have an operating capital that we thought would suffice. But after running some numbers, we decided that if we threw everything we had in the pot, I mean, that would lower our mortgage payment $500 a month, and we would be in a much better position. The only problem that caused is now we had no operating capital. So that has been the reason that I have stayed at my work at the dealership for 5 months, and we've been surviving off of my normal income and for at the home, the house, and then we have taken no money out of the business and allowed the business to generate capital. The other 70% of the business was my father invested in the business with me.
Okay, so you aren't paying off the former owner or a bank. This is all personal.
I do have a mortgage.
Okay, so you have a mortgage with a bank.
Yes, right. For about, I would say, about 60% of the loan is at the bank.
So you end up buying the property, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very good, very good. Yes. The business and the property, and the former owner own both.
Yes.
Okay.
We have the physical property, the building, and all the equipment inside.
It's a really smart move to keep working so that you can generate some operating capital. To the point, Connie, you weren't taking anything out of the business. You didn't have a job going in so that it wasn't like that big of an effect. But are you both planning to start taking a salary?
We will start taking a salary. Right now, where we're set up as an LLC.
Yep.
We will change to an S-Corp very shortly, and an S-Corp requires us to take a reasonable salary, but at the salary that we take will still be less than what I'm making now, at least for a while. We just got to kind of play it by ear as we go along, so we'll be conservative with our draws, and then see what time permits.
You continue to sacrifice. I love the word conservative. That helps justify the fact that you're not going to take a lot out of the business. But being conservative is a smart move in the beginning until you really can figure out where the profitability stands, how the sales are growing. Now, how long has it been since you've owned the business?
We opened the doors February 3rd of this year. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow. Just before the pandemic. Oh my God, you will not forget 2020. I mean, open the doors and boom, right? 30 days later, boom.
Yeah. Right. We made us very nervous. We didn't know how it was going to, which way it was going to go.
I imagine. Are you coming out of it okay?
We fared very well. Very well. I don't know if it was people were kind of bored and just needed to get out and knew that, shops were essential businesses and that gave them a place to go. Or if now they had the time to do car repairs that they had been putting off, or exactly why. But we stayed relatively busy through the shutdown.
Wow, good for you.
Walmart, which is just down the road, their automotive department closed. So we got a lot of their business and still are getting their business because they're still closed. And there was a guy down the street who was also closed for a few weeks, and we got some of his business.
Well, there's a break. I don't mean to slide over to the Walmart story, but do you think they're going to reopen that?
Maybe.
Sure they will.
I mean, I haven't heard. I'm sure they will.
They just closed 100 and some operations in Canada. The automotive operations in Canada. We were talking about it today on aftermarketweekly.com. You take this incredible risk on your lives, but probably in your hearts, what a great thing that you both did to start a business. The things kind of fell into place. And there's nothing wrong with the mom and dad loans. Nothing wrong. If you can't trust your kids, who can you trust, right? You helped raise them. And in the case of you, Connie, jumping on that counter, was there a service advisor and other people inside the business that you kept that have really, helped you get going?
We don't have a service advisor, but we have two guys that have been there. One guy's been there for a tech who's been there for 15 years. And he pretty much ran the business last year for about 9 months. So he knows inside and outside the business. He knows it well. And he's been able to help me deal with customers and learn the backside of the business, if you will, the tech side. And then there's another guy who's been there for about a year and a half, but he's been in the business for, he's probably been in the car business for how long? 17 years?
15 years. 15 years.
Okay. He's a little bit younger, but he ran another automotive shop. And so he's been very helpful. So yeah, I've had to learn how to be a service advisor as well.
Shopware's innovative shop management system will give you back your time and put more money in your pocket. Make the switch today and watch technician efficiency gain 20%, enjoy increased recommended service, and even grow the highest parts profit margins ever with the smallest amount of work. Steve from Ultimate Automotive says, I love that Shopware lets you complete every estimate on the inspection, and we even have a higher ARO, receive more approvals, and have had a significant increase in revenue. With our previous SMS, estimating was limited because it was so time-consuming. This impacted not only what we could sell on each customer's current visit, but also what we would have prepared for following visits. Hey, your peers are happy. Let Shopware work for you. Book a demo at getshopware.com. We'll be right back. Life as we know it has changed. Now, through it all, your work remains essential to moving the world forward, and your community has never been stronger. And that's one of the many reasons people turn to Apex. And this year, there's even more for shop owners and technicians, including Repair Shop HQ, a shop demo area featuring 6 bays that simulate a real shop environment, a dedicated tire section, and 2 new training theaters. Apex is there for you. They're shedding light on new innovations, sharing insights on efficiency and effectiveness, delivering hands-on training, advocating for access to vehicle data, and being your voice for the industry. The key to staying ahead is joining your community at Apex 2020 to reconnect. Now, we're all in it together, and together we'll move ahead. The dates, November 3rd through the 5th at the Sands Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. Register right now at aapexshow.com. I hope to see you there. Have you texted Russell at work for advice?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sometimes.
So, there's
but
another.
It's hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. I don't have your cell service in my shop. But Connie originally thought that when we started this, that I was just going to be able to walk away from the dealership and we would be in it together. It was kind of like right about the time we were going to open the doors when she realized, because since we had shifted the operating capital, that just wasn't our option. So that was a sore spot for a few weeks, I would say. It was very nervous. It was very nerve-wracking for her to come back to the workplace. I mean, she had worked very hard at home, but to come back to the workplace after being away for so long and into a business that she really didn't know anything about except for just hearing me talk about in the evenings when I would come home.
So you jumped into the deep end of the pool, Connie.
Yeah, I did.
Tell me where you are mentally right now. Exhilarated, excited, tired. Where are you right now?
If you had asked me a couple of months ago, I would have said, I'm about to lose my mind. I'm exhausted. I am, my brain is about to explode because I've just had so much information. It's not, I've had to learn the computer end of it, QuickBooks, the invoicing system, dealing with customers, and then learning the automotive part of it. I've had to learn that as well. So I feel like I've got a long way to go, but I feel like I'm finally getting getting some of it together, and like I'm understanding it a little better. So I'm seeing how it works now. So I'm in a better spot than I was a few months ago.
Russell, your perspective on Connie jumping in the deep end of the pool for you.
Well, I mean, she's been amazing and she's done a phenomenal job and she's stuck with it. I mean, there have been times where she's come home. We both come home at night, me from my job and her from the shop. And she's just been, completely drained, exhausted, maybe a headache or some horror story that had happened, that she wasn't prepared to deal with. And, but she's done a phenomenal job, absolutely phenomenal job. I do know that she is more than ready for me to be there with her. I mean, she's expressed that on multiple occasions that just so that I can take some of the load off. So I'll be the go-between the techs and her. And then, I will also assist in the shop with, diagnosis and, repairs as necessary. But I'll be able to take some of the load off between her and the techs.
Yeah. What do you project your role to be when you join full time? Are you going to stay in the bays? You're going to work the counter? You're going to, just learn to be the CEO? Give me an idea of the transition plan you have for yourself.
It's probably going to be a little bit of everything. I mean, I would really like it to evolve into a place to where if I needed to run the counter, if Connie needed a day off, I mean, there's going to be times where Connie's going to be maybe sick and just needs to stay home. And then I need to be able to run the front counter, but that's not going to be my primary job. I mean, Connie will do the invoicing and she'll be writing the checks for the payroll and she'll be the service advisor. I will be able to interact with the customers from a technical, point of view and be able to explain to them what's going on with their cars. I'll put the estimates together, supervise the technicians, but I'll still be doing some diagnosis and repairs and stuff, I'm sure. So,
how, everything. How old was the business? How long was it in business when you bought it? How many years?
About 20 years.
Okay. And you looked at, I mean, obviously you looked deep inside the business to see what its financial position was before, of course, you bought it. Did you have a great base to start with?
I don't know so much about the financial side. I mean, we did our due diligence as far as checking everything and all the numbers and everything that they provided us with was good. The thing that was the most encouraging for us was like Facebook ratings and Yelp and Google, the ratings and stuff that we were able to find were very good, like, you know, 4.5, 6, 7, 8 out of 5. There were people that we would just talk to because, again, the shop is near where we live, and like we go to church near where we live, and the people that we know, most of the people that we know are where we live, and they would say, what shop did you buy? And we would say, that one down the road. Oh, I know that place. And every now and then you'd run into somebody that was a customer, and they were like, oh, they do a phenomenal job. We love that place. We'll continue to come. And so we never heard anything that was bad. You know, like somebody said, oh, I had a horrible experience there or anything. Everything we heard was good or that we saw was good. So that was...
Wow, the power of community. I mean, you're living there, you're churching there, and you're businessing there. Huge, huge.
We also had 5,000 customer base. So we had a lot. They had a lot of customers, and a lot of them have continued to come back time after time. So it's good.
Have you had a grand reopening celebration planned at all?
Waiting for Russell to get there.
You're waiting for Russell, and you're waiting for total social distancing to go away. Good for you.
Then we'll celebrate.
Yeah, I bet you will. Please email me the day he shows up, Connie. I want to know, because I know that you're just going to be so relieved. Hey, let's talk about some of the changes you may have made in the business, you know, early on when you got it. A lot of people take a serious look at labor rates. Did you make any moves there?
We did. Where we are located, and I'm just familiar with the dealership, okay? So the dealership labor rate in our area is probably around $130 an hour, maybe even $140. They were charging $80 an hour, which is way under what the market will bear. Okay. For labor, alignments were like $50. Oil changes, $29.95, full synthetic oil changes, $49.95. So we changed the labor rate. They also had previously discussed this, I think. They had a credit card machine that would like flip the charges back to the customer if they used credit. Encourage them to pay cash. That was just weird because it was two price structures. So if you come in, you pay credit, it might be $103, and if you pay cash, it's just $100. And that was just kind of confusing. Nobody does that. So we made the labor rate $105. We wanted it to come out about $100, but we figured if we charged $105, that would just pay us back for the credit card charges that we're going to have. We left but we don't really advertise. We just give the customer the price. I mean, we do use all data for our labor guide, and we give the customers the price for the job based on that. But we left our oil changes the same. So we're still doing an oil change for $29.95. That's an advertised thing. And then we do, our synthetics $49.95, and we raised our alignments $10 each, so $10 more for a two-wheel, $10 more for a four-wheel. We were getting a lot of oil changes that would come in, and they would just be an oil change. And for the business, I mean, I've got a little bit of materials and stuff in an oil change, but a rotate costs me nothing. So kind of borrowing from the dealership model, they have package deals. In order to encourage rotates, if they would come in and do an oil change, if our customers come in and do an oil change at regular price, $29.95 or $49.95, and they do a rotate for $15, then we will add to the fuel tank 5 ounces of Lucas Fuel Clean. Now, that's $5. Buy a bottle like this at Walmart, but I can buy it by the gallon. And if I buy it by the gallon, that 5 ounces cost me $1.
Mm-hmm.
So for the $1 investment, if giving them a fuel additive, it's just an encouragement for them. And I do sell it as a $5 value, because if they go buy one of these, it's going to be $5.
Right, right.
But it costs me $1 and encourages them to do an oil change. I mean, I'm sorry, a rotate.
Yeah, that's nice. A nice waiting room?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
That was one of the things that told us about the business when I saw it. I was like, a lot of mom and pop stores, it's kind of like a dungeon. Ours is very bright, well lit, reasonably well decorated, coffee machine.
And nobody's in there.
Not right now.
it'll come back. I mean, what is your whole feeling on the touchless experience with the customers now? They're not coming in. They're dropping their keys. You're cleaning their keys. You rarely spend time with them. You okay with
that? We'll be better at answering that. And I don't know that we've had quite the shutdown in Florida as we have some other places. So yeah. I'll let her give you a better idea of what she experienced.
Honestly, I don't feel like we have experienced a whole lot of difference in COVID as before the COVID stuff. We have more people coming in with masks, but other than that, we've only had a few people say, "Could you please make sure the steering wheel's clean? Make sure everything's wiped off." We've only had a few people say that. Everyone else has been okay with how we run things, the same way. So
we do provide hand sanitizer for our customers, and we do wipe down our we use Square, and we do wipe down our Square screen and those kinds of things. But as far as most of the people in the area seem to have been business as normal.
Right. And I constantly through the day wipe the counter.
Okay.
It's actually after each person leaves, I'm wiping the counter. And anything on the counter, wiping all that, keeping it clean.
And so the car comes in, the tech's not wiping it down, and he is not wiping it again before the customer gets it?
If they ask, we will. Yes, we do. They wipe it off anyway because of, grease. If they have grease on their hands or whatever, they make sure that it's clean before they leave.
Yeah, so. Florida is way ahead of all of us. Are you guys spiking at all as far as COVID-19?
In our area... Okay, the only reason I know this is because I had to go to the dentist a couple weeks ago. In our area, in the counties all around where we are, the cases were very low. I mean, less than 200 in our county. And the county that I work in, at the Lincoln dealership, I drive to that county, and there were also less than 200. So when I went to the dentist, they said, "Have you left the county in the last 2 weeks?" And I'm like, "Well, I work in Lake County, the next county over." And they said, "Well, I don't think they've had many either. Let me check." And then they said, "No, you're fine." But I mean, they took my temperature and stuff. But
they took your temperature. Mm-hmm. Wow, so interesting. I just did a podcast that will come out this Friday, so I think everybody will get an idea of when we're recording this of a shop owner in Michigan who had a case of Corona COVID-19 from one of the techs in one of the shops. And it's a very, very interesting story to tell in a multi-shop environment, how it all came about and some great advice that the shop owner has for everyone. So I'm not sure we're out of this thing 100%, although you guys in Florida feel you're incredibly invincible, and that's great. That's great. I love that. So you know what happens? You buy a house, right? You buy a 30-year-old house, and you're all excited, and then the garage door breaks, and then the dishwasher goes bad. What kind of things have happened inside of your business that you may not have had plans on?
Connie can jump in if she thinks of any. There's three that I know of right off the top of my head. The computer that does all of our invoicing, this is major. Mm-hmm. It has had a virus in its lifetime. So I've run every virus scan I can at it and can find no problem, but the computer has been crippled a bit. And we didn't realize that at first. It was something that we kind of realized as it's gone along. Our internet speeds in the shop are like almost 300 MPS. The internet speed on this computer, because of the damage, is like 40.
40.
Yeah, a 10th. There's been some glitches with the way the invoicing system has worked and some things like that. We're taking steps to correct that now, but that issue is not as easy as you might think. I mean, we have our computer database of our customers. It's on our invoicing system. That invoicing system, we're going to have to manually transfer that to transfer it out.
There's got to be somebody out there that can help you.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
All right.
It's kind of difficult with what we're using. So the other things, let's see, the AC machine, our air conditioner machine, mysteriously had a problem to where it wouldn't complete one of the functions, and it was in the middle of COVID-19. So the repair facility is not sending out any service people, and the repair facility is about an hour and a half away. So we ended up buying a new AC machine, brand new. So I thought, okay, well, there's a used one. I get a used one for $1,200, and I can save some money. So I got the used one for $1,200. It all seemed to be fine. It had a problem, and so I have now bought a new third one. Okay, it'll be fine. I will get both of the machines fixed, and we will keep one because I believe in redundancy. I mean, you don't want your AC machine to go down in the middle of summertime,
and not in Florida.
Exactly.
Never.
I got the call one day that our scan tool went down. It was just like, it's done. The screen was just scrolling. There was no way to bring it back. There was no way to reboot it. So we ordered one and got it here as quickly as possible. Those are the three biggest things I think I can think of.
So what could go wrong, did go wrong, or it will continue to go wrong. And those are the rainy day scenarios. And I loved your story a few minutes ago about worrying about building up some operating capital for these little tiny moments that kind of crush your dream of saying, what did we do this for?
Right.
I know every time we get a dime, we have to spend 8 cents. I know.
Right. Sometimes it seems that way.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
I'm proud of you guys. You bit off something really exciting. Any advice for someone who wants to start up, especially from the husband and wife perspective?
From my perspective, from a business perspective, I would say we were very blessed. We're very blessed with the technicians that we have, and we were very blessed to find this place that was as well respected as it was and as affordable as it was. I mean, just something that we felt like we could wrap our heads around. I mean, we didn't pay $1 million, you know, for the place that we're at. I have five bays, four usable. I have two lifts, and I do have an alignment machine. I highly recommend a successful shop to have an alignment machine, but it came with the building. I didn't have to spend $20,000, $30,000 for an alignment machine because it's, you know, it came with it. And then just making sure that, you know, it meets that you have the resources, you know, for that. Again, I needed assistance, and my parents were willing to help, and, you know, that's how we were able to do it.
So, good for you.
I have a suggestion as well.
He kept saying, we need to have a nest egg. We need to have money set aside or a credit line or whatever, because you never know what can happen. And I haven't worked in this business, but so I didn't know. And I guess in times past, if anything, at his shops, the dealership were to break, the dealership would have bought it. But now it's up to us. So I would say it's most important to have that extra cash set aside or some type of credit line so that if something does break or go wrong and you need that extra money, it's there. We also have an extra printer set aside with cartridges and extra keyboards. It's just good to have that extra stuff because it's important to have those extra the extra cash and the extra things set aside.
Smart. A great backup plan. You can never have enough keyboards and printers and cartridges. You just
redundancy is key.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And look, we've done so many podcasts on banking relationships, credit lines, business coaches, accounting firms. I know that as you guys will learn about what we do here on the podcast, you'll find a ton of resources. And I encourage you to, you know, get in some form of networking group and join an association or two and utilize a strong network of shop owners to help you guys out. Well, I so enjoyed this because it's refreshing that you guys took such a great leap and you're getting ready to join the business and give Connie some relief. Russell and Connie Cook from Finish Line Automotive in Ocala, Florida. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Carl.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.